Remember a while ago when there was some big thing about people having Crystal Pepsi? I don't remember exactly when or what the big deal was, but I remember when my friend offered me a can. Apparently, his dad had several cases sitting in his work shed. Now, the thing about my friend Dominic is that his parents are weird. It was a little off-putting. His mother collected porcelain dolls and fancy plates. His father collected soda merchandise and coins. They were really intense about their collection, but they were never ones to waste money. I don't think anyone else in the neighborhood had near the same amount of savings as the Price family. They were extremely responsible with their money and weren't against selling valuable pieces of their collections. They both worked steady, well-paying jobs, and they lived in a house well below their means. They didn't spend frivolously just because they could. They planned to have a nice sum to guide them through retirement. Dominic Price wasn't as serious as his parents, though. Part of why we were friends was his amazing sense of humor. He was one of the funniest people I knew. He was adventurous, and throughout the years we'd gotten into all sorts of trouble together. We were infamous among the neighborhood. That's besides the point, though, because on this day, all of our infamous duo was doing was taking one can of Crystal Pepsi from one of the many cases that were stacked in the back corner of the work shed. To keep a story short, we drank a can in the shed. It tasted weird, and it was just a general waste of time. There was one interesting thing I noticed in the shed while we looked around. It was an old keychain with the Pepsi logo on it. It was pretty cool looking. Dom suddenly picked up the keychain and tossed it at me. Want it? Dad's got a million. He'll never notice. I nodded and pocketed the keychain as we left. I knew I shouldn't have taken it, but I did anyways. It was almost like it was a gift from Dom. Anyways, I walked out with a neat trinket, and Dom finished off the gross pop. I didn't think much of our little shed escapade, except to worry that Mr. Price would find out and be upset. It was a week later when I sat down with the Price family for dinner, and my anxiety over being caught was validated. "Have you two been in my work shed recently?" Mr. Price spoke casually, as though he was used to people entering his shed without permission. I looked at Dominic for his reply because I had no idea if we planned on telling the truth. "Yeah, we tried one of the Crystal Pepsis last weekend," he admitted. His father nodded and asked that we get permission before going into his shed. The rest of dinner went smoothly, but I couldn't help but still feel nervous that Mr. Price knew about what I'd taken. When I left the house that night, I swear Mr. Price glared at me as we said goodbye. I didn't sleep well that night. I brushed it off as guilt over that petty theft. But the sounds freaked me out. I kept hearing a noise which sounded like someone pacing outside my bedroom window. Over the next week, I wished my room was located on a higher floor because I swore that someone was outside. It tapped and scratched at my window, and several nights I saw a silhouette standing out on the lawn. I was afraid. I thought that maybe Mr. Price was trying to scare me into a confession. If that was the case, it worked. I showed up at their home on a Saturday afternoon, but Dom was out. I admitted that I was actually there to see Mr. Price. We walked into his living room together and each sat in a chair. I pulled the keychain from my pocket. "I'm sorry, Mr. Price. I took this from your shed a few weeks ago," I spoke nervously, rushing to get the words out.
"I know.
And you kept it from me.
You lied about what you took from my shed." His voice was low and stern. It sent a wave of fear through me.
I'm sorry. I stuttered out the apology, in no place to correct him on exactly who had told the lie.
"Listen," his tone softened. "I normally wouldn't care about a small theft, but this thing is cursed."
I stared at him for a moment, waiting for the punchline to this joke.
He remained calm and serious, so I just nodded at his statement. Mr. Price was weirder than I thought.
There's something inside it, he continued, but he quickly broke into a fit of laughter.
I'm sorry. It's just you almost seem to believe it. This thing does have a history of being stolen, but that's all.
I was confused and honestly didn't find the joke very funny after the week I'd had. I was polite as possible for the rest of the conversation and left as soon as I could. As I was leaving, I heard Mr. Price call out a final statement to me.
Returning it doesn't change the fact that it was stolen and that you lied to my face.
I was stepping out of the front door as he said it. I turned to apologize once more, but his wife closed the door in my face. I thought the weird noises and strange figures would go away once I returned the keychain, but nothing changed. I spent another week nearly sleepless before I found myself back at Dom's house for dinner. His mother let me in and led me to the table. Dom was already seated and nodded towards me in a greeting. Mrs. Price left to go to the kitchen, and Mr. Price sat imposingly at the head of the table. There was an odd tension in the air, and I felt uncomfortable sitting there. I noticed that the table hadn't been set, which made me realize how unusual it was for everyone to be seated for dinner so early. When Mrs. Price came back into the room, she was holding a hammer, and her husband suddenly stood. I sat in shock as they walked over to me. I wasn't expecting the hammer to slam down on the hand I'd left resting on the table. I heard the crunch of bone before I screamed. It was the worst pain I'd ever felt, and I was too shocked to move. The hammer came down a few more times, landing squarely on each of my knuckles. I flinched. Each time I heard my bones breaking, but by the last one I wasn't sure if I could feel it. My right hand was a useless, mangled mess. Mrs. Price gripped my shoulders as her husband moved away from me. She wasn't very big or imposing, but she was strong enough to keep me in place while I groaned in agony. I don't think I could have moved very much if she hadn't been holding me. The pain was intense. I wanted more than anything to leave, but I couldn't understand why Dom hadn't moved from his seat. That's when Mr. Price pulled his son's seat away from the table, and I saw that his hands were bound. In some places, the punishment for stealing is very costly, Mr. Price smiled. You two are lucky. I stared in disbelief as he held the hammer above Dom's head. That was the moment when Mrs. Price leaned close and whispered to me. Run. Don't tell anyone what you saw. There's a similar punishment for spreading rumors. She giggled at that and it sent a chill through my body. No one would believe it either. She gave me a slight shove and I ran out of the room as the first of Dom's screams rang out. The street was busy, loud. I couldn't hear any screams once I was outside, but I still ran. I ran until I got home, feeling guilty for leaving Dom. They were his parents, though, and I was a skinny teenager. I didn't know how to help. When I got home, my parents were waiting for me. They weren't surprised by my bloody hand. They received a call from Mr. Price, where he explained that I had gotten into a fight with Dominic. Today was the day they had planned on moving out of the state, and according to Mr. Price, I was mad that no one had told me they were leaving. My parents were disappointed in me. Assuming my broken knuckles were from a wall I had supposedly put a hole through at the Price home. We went to the hospital about it, and even the doctor told them it didn't appear to be caused by punching something. They didn't really acknowledge it, too deep in their acceptance of what Mr. Price had said. He was their friend, a fellow parent in the neighborhood. Of course they trusted him. Dominic wasn't in school on Monday, and when I walked by the Price house by the end of the day, it appeared empty. I steeled myself and walked up to the door, knocking softly. No answer. I peeked in a window and found the house devoid of furniture. They really had moved away. It's been years since then, but I've never found a trace of them. I don't know why they believed in such severe punishment. I, for theft, or,
Why someone was outside of my home. Maybe thinking I'd tell my parents to make myself less credible in the end. Regardless, no one has ever believed my side of the story. The only reason I even thought to tell anyone was because I found something in the old jacket of mine today. It was an old Pepsi keychain that I know I returned. This is Spooky Boo. If you've enjoyed this story, please give it a thumbs up and make a comment below. Also, if you'd like to turn in your own story for me to read, send it to scarystoriesonvideo@gmail.com. I'd love to tell your story to the world.